بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering and doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah who is Ar-Rahman.
Allah
who is Al-Mannan.
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi, as usual, is our in studio to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
All right, Sheikh Karimi, in the religion of Islam, we are very much encouraged to behave in a good manner. Prophet Muhammad was the best example. He had the good manner among his own people. He was kind. He was sympathetic to the people who had pain in the life, you know. He had always good interactions and encounter with the people around. Is misbehaving and having bad temperedness a kind of sin in Islam? Is it considered a kind of sin in Islam? And if yes, why?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, bad temperedness is one of the moral sins in the religion of Islam. And when we refer to the narrations of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam about the virtue of good temperedness, good disposition and good character, husnul khulq, and the evil of su'ul khulq, bad temperedness, we might be surprised that how Islam and the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, they have paid attention to these two, moral virtue and vice, and husnul khulq being a moral virtue and su'ul khulq being a moral vice. And how we can, elevate our a spiritual level through husnul khulq. If I may begin with some verses of the Noble Book of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This is chapter Ali Imran, verse 158. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is by Allah's mercy that you are gentle to them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. And had you been harsh and hard-heartened, surely they would have scattered from around you. So the verse is referring to the fact that if the Prophet is successful in his mission, which is the case, it is because of his good temperedness.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's sending Musa and Harun, Moses and Aaron, to Fir'aun, the most wicked person of the time, even in that case, he says that you need to treat him in a good way, with good character, with good temperedness.
Okay.
Taha verses 43 and 44. اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Let the two of you go to the Pharaoh. Indeed, he is rebelled. But فقولا له قولا لينا. You're going to talk to the most wretched person on the earth.
Right.
That's true. But even in this case, speak to him in a soft manner. Why? لعله يتذكر أو يخشى. Maybe he will take admonition or fear. And that is the point when it comes to enjoining good and forbidding evil. When it comes to Pharaoh, Allah commands two prophets to act, in a good way. But in enjoining good and forbidding evil, we are dealing with our brothers and sisters in faith.
That's
unfortunately,
right.
Some people do it in a very harsh way. This is against the religion of Islam. This is against the
Shariah. So, if you're encouraging someone to do good action, it must not with su'al khulq.
Not at all.
Or, for
not
example, the
and
bad action. That's
it doesn't
right.
work like that.
The bad character. That's
and Allah said in chapter Fussilat, لا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. Good and evil conduct are not equal. Repel evil with what is best. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Even in the case that you receive bad character, bad temperedness from other people, try to, not compensate or retaliate to, as the Quran says, repel evil with what is best. Then, if you do so, behold, he between whom and you was enmity will be as though he were a sympathetic friend.
That's right.
There are many narrations, as I mentioned, they are surprising, and unfortunately, I mean, many believers might not be aware of these narrations.
Yeah, sorry, before getting to narrations and ahadith, is it clear what do we mean exactly by bad morality? I mean, how do we act that it is called a bad morality?
I think in this case, it can be referred to the common sense, what we call it, the urf.
Okay.
So in every culture among the people, I mean, people understand what is good temperedness is all about,
right.
What is good character and what is bad character. And that is why if you ask this person, what do you think about A, he say that either he's a good-tempered person or bad-tempered person.
Okay.
I mean, it's something which is referring back to the common sense and the common understanding of the people.
Do you know why I'm asking? Because nowadays, especially on the social media, something which were considered as bad behaviors, for example, like backbiting, slandering, or, for example, being curious about others' life, you know, are very much rampant, Shaykh. Mm-hmm. And they are not considered as bad character or bad behaviors. This is why am I asking. Yeah, I mean, sometimes the bad actions are repeated so much, they lose their power, you know, in the life of the people.
Yeah, these are two different stories.
Okay.
What you mentioned, they are not related to husnul khulq and su'ul khulq.
Okay.
They are related to other moral vices. And for each and every one of them, we have verses of the Quran and narrations. So no one can consider backbiting a virtue because of the fact that we have explicit verses and narrations in this regard.
All right.
Or, I mean, spying regarding the life of the people,
yes,
the private life, and so on and so forth. What I mentioned is just husnul khulq and su'ul khulq.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a good equivalent is being bad-tempered or good-tempered.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I mean, this is what I mentioned, that for this we can refer to what people understand. I mean, in a family, in a big family, people say that, I mean, Mr. A is good-tempered.
Right.
We can talk to him, he laughs, and
he's cordial.
Yeah.
That's
right. And
it's friendly.
Mr. B is bad-tempered. Uh-huh. Always he's angry, we cannot talk to him, he's very harsh against the children, and so on and so forth. So this is the one that I mentioned, that we can refer to the common sense, the common understanding of the people.
Okay.
For the
Thank
definition.
You. Let's now get to ahadith and narrations. What are they?
Again, I repeat the fact that as believers, we need to be aware of such narrations, because sometimes we think that we are doing all the obligations, everything is good, but we do not know that we are suffering from a moral vice that is called su'ul khulq, and it would be a very great obstacle on the Day of Judgment. And let me begin with the story of Sa'd ibn Ma'ad, one of the great companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. When he passed away, the way that the Prophet behaved in his funeral ceremony was really astonishing. The Prophet himself, he followed the coffin, and without wearing any shoes or cloak as a kind of respect to him, and he was sometimes taking the coffin. And then the Holy Prophet himself went into the grave to do the funeral ceremony and the rest of the story. And as soon as he was buried, Umm Sa'd, his mother, said that, Ya Sa'd, hani'an laka al-jannah. And that was a natural conclusion, that you see that the most perfect human being on this planet Earth, the Prophet, has taken part in the funeral ceremony. He is doing all these rites. And the conclusion of his mother was that now he is in paradise. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَا أُمَّ سَعْدٍ مَهْ لَا تَهْزِمِ عَلَى رَبِّكْ فَإِنَّ سَعْدًا قَدْ أَصَابَتُ الزَّمَّ. The Prophet, addressing his mother, says that, wait, we are not able to judge on behalf of God. Let's, refer judgment to God. Then the Prophet explained that now Sa'd ibn Ma'ad is suffering from a pressure in the grave. You know that this is one of the punishments in the world of Barzakh, in the grave. So the people were surprised, the companions, and they asked for the reason. And the Prophet said the reason was that فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي خُلُقِهِ مَا أَهْلِهِ سُوءٌ. He was bad-tempered in dealing with his family members. And I think it's good for all of us to read this story every day to remind ourselves. A good person, a virtuous person like Sa'd ibn Ma'ad, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet, he is suffering from the pressure in the grave because of bad-temperedness with his family members. So that is the point that I'm repeating, that as believers, we need to know and remind ourselves about the greatness of good-temperedness and the evil of bad-temperedness. The Prophet said, peace be upon him and his family, أَكْثَرُ مَا تَلَجُ بِهِ أُمَّتِي الْجَنَّةِ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلْقِ. The reason that make most of the people enter the paradise are two. First, God-weariness, taqwa, and second, good-temperedness.
All right.
It's a very, powerful narration in emphasizing the role of good-temperedness in making the people the inhabitants of the paradise. The Prophet says, أول ما يوضع في ميزان العبد يوم القيامة حسن خلقه. You know that on the Day of Judgment, we have mizan, we have scales. Of course, not physically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
The Prophet said, the first thing that is put in the scales is the good-temperedness. ما يوضع في ميزان امرئ يوم القيامة أفضل من حسن الخلق. The Prophet said, among the things that are put in the scale of a person on the Day of Judgment, nothing is greater and better than good-temperedness.
All right.
وسئل النبي أي المؤمنين أفضلهم إيمانا. The Prophet was asked, we have two believers. Mm-hmm. If you want to judge among them, which one of them is the best? The Prophet said, أحسنهم خلقا. The one who's best in his or her character. This is another interesting narration. They told the Prophet that فُرَانَةٌ تَسُومُ النَّهَارُ وَتَقُومُ اللَّيْلُ وَتَتَصَدَّقُ. They talk about a lady who was very virtuous. She was fasting during the day. She was keeping night vigil. She was paying charity, all these recommended actions, of course, in addition to the obligations.
Okay.
But the only point was that, the only negative point was that, وَتُؤْذِي جَارَهَا بِلِسَانَهَا. She is disturbing, bothering her neighbors with her tongue. The Prophet says, لَا خَيْرَ فِيهَا. There is no goodness in such a lady.
Yes.
She may perform all these recommended actions, but she is suffering from bad character. Then they said, فُرَانَةٌ تُسَلِّ الْمَكْتُوبَ وَتَسُومُ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. There is another person, another lady, she justifies us with the obligations, like the obligatory prayer and the obligatory fasting. She doesn't perform the recommended actions, like recommended fasting and keeping night vigil. وَلَا تُؤْذِي جَارَهَا. She's not disturbing her neighbors. The Prophet says, هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. She is one of the people of the paradise. And this is a very good lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think that
our obligations will help us, okay.
Yeah, our obligation,
that's right.
Help us. But sometimes, as I mentioned, some believers might be too much involved in recommended actions, which is good in and of itself, if they do not neglect حسن الخلق.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are, according to this narration, if you are doing all these recommended actions, but you are suffering from سوء الخلق, then these good actions will not help you because of the significance of حسن الخلق.
And I've heard that the negative effects of the سوء الخلق will completely obliterate all the effects of your good deeds. I mean, for example, every day you do, for example, lots of good deeds, lots of obligatory actions on time, but one bad action, especially in the family, I've heard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
With your family members, with your wife, with your children, okay? With your husband. These will have lots of negative effects in the actions.
Yeah, it's not going to work like this. Like, for example, I do all the obligations and many recommended actions, and as soon as I do one case of su'ul khulq, then everything is omitted. No, it's against the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not going to judge, and when it comes to the concept of ihbat, which is one of the theological discussions, whether a bad action might omit all the good actions, we need to leave it to God. But the narration that I'm sharing is just referring to the fact that husnul khulq can help us a lot in elevating our spiritual rank on the Day of Judgment. And on the other hand, su'ul khulq is also very influential on the Day of Judgment regarding our spiritual rank. So we need to pay attention to these two, but leave the judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, حَسْنَ خُلُقَكْ يُخَفِّفُ اللَّهُ حِسَابَكْ. Try to be good-tempered, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your account light, referring to great spiritual rank of the person.
You mean the record of the deeds?
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُعْتِ الْعَبْ مِنَ الثَّوَابَ عَلَى حُسْنُ الْخُلْقِ كَمَا يُعْتِ الْمُجَاهِدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person because of his good temperedness is like the reward that he's giving to those people who are active in jihad, in war against the enemies of Muslims.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for being with us. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن